Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So yesterday afternoon, Kellyanne Conway went on MSNBC to say Michael Flynn still had the full confidence of President Trump. By last night, Flynn was out, and Conway was back on the Today Show this morning having this exchange with Matt Lauer.
I want to go back to that phone call with the Russian ambassador back in December. You're starting to make me think that perhaps General Kelly was not freelancing during that call when he talked about or hinted, General Flynn, that he wasn't freelancing during that call, that in fact he may have been making that call on behalf of the administration or the incoming administration. Would that be accurate?
No, it would be a mistake to conclude that. Remember, in the end, it was misleading the vice president that made the situation unsustainable.
Which the White House knew about last month. And yet yesterday you went on the air and said that General Flynn had the complete and full confidence of the president.
And General Flynn decided that he should resign last night, and the president accepted that resignation.
Kellyanne Conway on the Today Show this morning. So a few lingering questions. What did the president know, and when did he know it, about Flynn improperly talking to Russia about sanctions? Did the president order Flynn or ask Flynn to reassure the Russians that the sanctions for Russia's election hacks would be reversed? When did Trump know that the Justice Department considered Flynn a blackmail risk, and how long did Trump keep him on as national security advisor? Anyway, that seemed to be what Matt Lauer was trying to get at there. Did Flynn or anyone else mislead the FBI in its investigation of the Russian election hacking? If so, that would be a felony. And how close will this all take us to a conclusion that Trump or his team coordinated the election hacking with Moscow, a hostile foreign power? With me now is someone who is wondering if this story would reappear at all, David Korn, Washington bureau chief for Mother Jones and an MSNBC analyst who just last week wrote a piece called Whatever Happened to the Trump-Russia Story, the Mysterious Disappearance of the Biggest Scandal in Washington. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
It is great to be with you, Brian.
It's back, isn't it?
It sure is. I think I was rather prescient to wonder where the story went right before it came back. And what brought it back was indeed this particular lie, which may or may not be connected to what I was talking about in that piece, which is the Russian hacking campaign that was designed, according to our own intelligence community, to benefit Donald Trump. There had been investigations launched by the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, and the FBI supposedly was looking into this, but we hadn't seen much news. And most importantly, throughout the first weeks of Trump's presidency, at press briefings at the White House and in other venues, many journalists were not asking questions about this. And I thought that was what I was referring to when I said, whatever happened to this story? For all the other big news of the past month or two, it still remained big news that Moscow intervened in the election to get a certain outcome, which was the election of President Trump, got that outcome, and yet we still don't know much about all that it did, how our government found out or responded to it, and particularly, what about the context between the Trump campaign and any Russian officials? Mike Pence last month, regarding the Michael Flynn communications after the election with the ambassador from Russia here in Washington, D.C., said that there were no contacts between the Trump campaign and Russian officials during the election. Well, now we know that Michael Flynn's communications with Ambassador Kislyak, the Russian ambassador here in D.C., began before Election Day. So that meant they were happening during the campaign, at a time when the Putin regime was attacking U.S. elections.
Wait, what do we know about Flynn and the Russian ambassador having contact during the campaign? Because I thought this resignation has to do with him talking about sanctions with the Russian ambassador in late December as the Obama administration was imposing sanctions because of the hacks.
Yes, that is all true. But there, I think, is a bigger issue here. The same Washington Post story that appeared a couple of days ago that triggered all this, in which they said that during that December communication, Flynn had talked to the ambassador about sanctions. That same story, and I have it right in front of me, says that the contacts with the ambassador, with Michael Flynn, began before the election. And, quote, Kislyak said he had been in contact with Flynn since before the election, but declined to answer questions about the subjects they discussed. So right there is evidence that Flynn, who was Donald Trump's top national security advisor, really one of his only, was talking to the Russians while the Russians were attacking American democracy. Now, we don't know what they talked about. We don't know if Flynn was giving them good reason to support Trump, saying we'll give you a better deal if we get elected, which would allow Putin to say it's good that we're doing this operation. Did the Russians say anything to Flynn indicating what they were doing? Did Flynn, of course, during this time period from mid-August until the election, Flynn knew that the U.S. intelligence community had discovered or had concluded that Russia was behind the hacks and the leaks that were targeting the Democrats. He was part of the briefing that Trump got on August 17th, in which Trump was told this. And, of course, on October 7th, the intelligence community put out a public declaration that Russia was behind this. So when Flynn, during the campaign, was talking to the Russians, he knew that our intelligence community had concluded that the Russians were hacking the U.S. election. So what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. And that, of course, raises the most serious potential implications for Trump. I even saw Richard Haass, the head of the Council on Foreign Relations, who's generally very restrained about things like this, say on MSNBC this morning that that's when the word impeachment legitimately would actually come up, even this early in the administration, if there's evidence to show that Trump knew about and was somehow colluding with the Russians to hack the elections. But how do we find out the answer to that question?
Well, I think there are a lot of ways to get at that question. To begin with, you put everybody under oath in the Trump campaign, including the president himself, and say, okay, what do you know about Flynn's conversations with the Russians before the election? You can add in after the election, too, and you grill Flynn on this subject. And my guess would be, why do we know about the content of the conversations between Flynn and the Russian ambassador in December about the sanctions? We know because U.S. intelligence routinely monitors the communications of Russian diplomats. No big surprise there, which is why, you know, Flynn talking about this and then lying about it afterwards was a really idiotic move on his part. He should have realized that if he was talking on by phone to the Russian ambassador, it was being recorded. So there may well be similar intercepts about Flynn's conversations with the Russian ambassador prior to the election, either intercepts of the actual calls, if they were phone calls, or perhaps intelligence intercepts of the Russian ambassador reporting what he was getting from Flynn. Because I think you can say this with 99.9% certainty, that whatever Flynn was saying to the Russian ambassador was being reported back to Moscow and maybe directly to Putin. So there are lots of ways to get at this if anybody is serious about getting at it.
David Korn, Washington Bureau Chief for Mother Jones, with us here on WNYC as we talk about the Michael Flynn scandal and its implications. 212-433-WNYC for your comments and questions. 212-433-9692. And Boris in Flatbush, you're on WNYC. Hello, Boris.
Hi, how are you, Brian? Great to be on the show. I just wanted to say that this shouldn't be surprising to anyone, because this isn't even the first time that someone from Trump's inner circle had to resign because of a secret relationship with the Kremlin. His campaign manager, Paul Manafort, and top aide, Carter Page, quit when their connection with the Russian spooks was revealed, and they're under investigation now. Rex Tillerson was personally given the highest civilian honor by Putin for his work to partner and enrich the Russian government through oil exploration. Steve Bannon has shadowy links. Roger Stone is being investigated right now for his connection with WikiLeaks. And basically, I, for one, am starting to believe the BuzzFeed dossier more and more. And I think that Trump is just a Russian intelligence asset, and Putin packed the White House with his henchmen.
Boris, thank you very much. Until that last conclusion, in which he may have overreached, everything that he said there is known to be true, right?
Mostly, yeah. I mean, Paul Manafort, who was the campaign manager for Donald Trump.
He was replaced in August with Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, was replaced, and he left in part when there were stories in the New York Times and elsewhere about his relationships with Ukrainian officials who are close to Putin. And so he's had a history of dealing with Ukrainians and some Russians who are part of the establishment, the Putin establishment. Carter Page was in Russia talking about getting rid of sanctions, and he was a foreign policy advisor to the campaign. After stories came about that, the campaign then distanced themselves from Carter Page, and Sean Spicer even said in January, that this past January, last month, that Donald Trump never knew him, but there is record of Donald Trump talking about Carter Page being an advisor to him on foreign policy matters. So, yes, there are a lot of these contacts, which is why prior to this latest Flynn hullabaloo, that people were calling for, Democrats primarily, for an investigation of campaign contacts between Trump circle and Russia. And indeed, this is something that the House and Senate Intelligence Committees are supposed to be looking at right now. These are secretive investigations. We're told there will be public hearings and a public report. But that's one reason why a lot of people, including John McCain, wanted either a wider, broader, more open investigation, maybe even an independent commission. And if these intelligence committees do not give us a sign that these are robust, serious investigations, I think the call will continue for an independent commission to look into the Trump-Russia contacts.
Ira in Bergenfield, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Ira.
Thank you, Brian. Everything going on with Flynn, maybe investigate to see what did Flynn do wrong, what law did he violate that made him criminal, and it's the Logan Act. It's a law from the 1700s. That I think only one person has been charged for in the history of the United States, and that's been over 200 years ago. It just seems that he lied, and there's conflicting stories, and they shouldn't lie, and he misled Pence, and he got fired for that. But the actual crime that he's being accused of, didn't like Sidney Blumenthal do the same thing for Hillary and stuff like that? It just seems that I don't even know if this law would be considered constitutional.
Well, I think you're right that it's the, you know, as in so many cases, the cover-up is worse than the crime. David, tell me if you agree with this, but can question why it's a big deal what Flynn did in December, which was the official precipitating incident. If he had signaled to the Russians that, even if he signaled to the Russians that they would go easy on sanctions that Obama was imposing on the same day, Trump had already been elected. Flynn was already the national security advisor. Administrations do reverse foreign policy decisions all the time. Obama certainly reversed things he didn't like from George W. Bush. So the original conversation that apparently Flynn felt he needed to withhold from Pence was not in and of itself such a big deal?
Well, it was a big deal. Not everything that's wrong is illegal. You know, to undermine foreign policy in a secret back channel with a representative of a regime that just hacked our election and attacked American democracy is indeed wrong. You know, just think about it. Here we have the Russians subverting American democracy, an our government has been clear in coming to that conclusion. And so the president comes up with a punishment in part to make sure this never happens again. And there may be secret aspects to this punishment that we don't know about, but there was a public manifestation with these sanctions. And what does Trump's top national security guy do? He calls the Russians and talks to them about it, seemingly to tell them, you know, don't overreact, don't basically how to cope with and how to contend with this punishment for their undermining of American democracy. That is just flat out wrong. And it violates all the traditions we have in the past of letting a president be president until the transition in power. The Logan Act makes it a crime for an American citizen to basically muck about in a foreign policy matter. Now,
a private citizen, not representing the government. Yeah. But and, he was, you know, the incoming national security advisor.
But he was a private citizen at this moment in time. He had no standing in any official way with the U.S. government. So, you know, there's a lot of been written about the Logan Act, and it's, you know, it has problems legal, I think constitutionally, legalistically. But that's neither here nor there. It's not really important, you know, but the fact that he took this step, and then you have to ask, did Trump know what he was doing? Did he indicate to Trump that he would keep the Russians, you know, cool about the sanctions so we can deal with them later? That was wrong. Lying about it publicly was wrong. And if he told Pence and others that he didn't do this, that was wrong. And but, you know, it's not the fact that he might have committed a crime that's the big issue here. It's the act itself, and it's the misleading about it, the misrepresentation. But basically, it goes back to the larger point that we've been discussing, this closeness, this coziness between Flynn, maybe on behalf of Trump, with the regime that attacked an American election.
Barry? In Westchester. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Brian. Hi, David. I'm a big fan of your work. I think you've been one of the three or four most important journalists in covering this campaign in the last year, and I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Barry.
I just said thank you.
Barry, what's your question? Did we lose Barry? After that robust compliment?
Oh, God, I'm so sorry, Barry.
Let's see. Well, I'm going to try to recreate it from the notes from my screener, which say, question for Korn, will a U.S. attorney investigate Flynn for violating the Logan Act? And that's basically the question. Yeah. And I guess I would add, if he gets investigated by a U.S. attorney for that, will that open up an avenue to find out if Trump was in on it in any way?
I think it would, basically. Any investigation into what Flynn did, whether it's a violation of Logan Act or anything else, would get to the issue of who told you to do this or who knew you were doing this. And that would involve, of course, the president. But another issue here, too, is we don't quite know if Flynn was questioned at all by the FBI or any other investigative body about these conversations. If he did, if he had been, and if he didn't tell the truth, that in itself would also be a crime. Ah. That's what happened, remember, with Scooter Libby. He was asked about his conversations with reporters when he was leaking information to damage Joe Wilson, the ambassador who had attacked the Bush-Cheney administration,
yeah,
you know, for saying there were WMDs. And he, you know, he falsely made statements to the FBI about his role in that, and that's what he ended up being convicted of.
Right.
So anytime, you know, there's an FBI questioning, you know, an interview, and you don't tell the truth, then you put yourself in jeopardy, too, of being charged with a crime.
And I see from your article last Thursday, a day before this even broke, you were asking that reporters put the following question to Sean Spicer at his press briefings. Have any past or present Trump associates, inside or outside his administration, been contacted or questioned by the intelligence committees, the FBI, or any other government body investigating the Russian hacking or interactions between Trump's circle and Russia? So if somebody were to put that question to Spicer this afternoon, and that ought to be a pretty interesting press briefing this afternoon, do you think they would get a meaningful answer?
Well, I don't think we get too many meaningful answers, but the answer to that question would be important. I mean, we now know that the FBI has maybe still be investigating some of this matters, and that the House and Senate Intelligence Committees are. So it seems to me, well, wait a second, this is a big news story. You have the president and his circle being investigated. Well, who's talked to who? What has been said? And as I noted a moment ago in saying that if Flynn or anybody else lied to the FBI, if you lie to a congressional investigator, that too is a violation of the crime. You don't have to, of the law. You don't even have to be under oath. Just lying to a congressional body is a violation of federal law. So have they questioned Flynn yet about his contacts with the Russians prior or before the election? What did he say? Did he say he didn't have any? If so, well, then he committed a crime.
You know what I'm curious about?
So there's a lot.
I hear you. Sorry. You know what I'm curious about that maybe you can clear up? Why is the public learning about this right now? Did someone in the intelligence community leak it to get back at Trump for repeatedly trying to discredit them?
Well, what you did have, last week you had this masterful story in the Washington Post in which 9 former and current officials all basically said Flynn is lying. So obviously there was a wide-ranging sentiment within the intelligence community that Flynn was not honest, was not being a good guy. And they also was a concern that because he was lying publicly, he was vulnerable to Russian blackmail. If the Russians know you spoke to them and you're telling about a certain thing and you're telling the public you didn't, they can always leverage you then. Well, how would you like it if we told the public what you said? So there was, I think, pretty widespread concern about this. But obviously, there probably is some, to put it mildly, unease within the intelligence community regarding Trump and Flynn. Trump, compared the intelligence community to Nazi Germany in December or January, when he was tweeting about their conclusions about Russia.
He did do that.
And the memos that came out about the Russian project to co-opt and cultivate Trump with compromising material. So so that's not good. But also the fact that he keeps challenging this assessment, which he's done from the beginning, puts them off. And I think the amount of contacts that they already know about is also very unnerving to people within the intelligence community. So all this would pretty much make them not be inclined to go any step to protect Michael Flynn.
Before you go, David, let me take a step back from the scandal and the political implications to potentially the implications for the wider world on policy. Because I think one way to look at this resignation is that it's one down from what you might call the Christian nationalist wing of the Trump administration. Stephen Miller and Steve Bannon are the other pillars of that wing. Does Flynn's departure weaken the idea of Muslim travel bans or Muslim registries or tarring Islam itself with being a threat to the West, as Flynn had done, not just its radical few?
Well, it's interesting. It's a great question, Brian, because when it comes, he, Stephen Miller, and Stephen Bannon are allied, but Flynn was the guy with the national security resume. So when he made these arguments, he could at least, gloss them with, the fact that he had been head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, that he was a general, a retired general. With him being gone, and you certainly don't see that attitude coming from either Rex Tillerson or General Mathis, who runs the Pentagon, that wing, that line of argument, loses a spokesperson or a champion or a crusader who actually wore a uniform. And I think that will make it harder in whatever tug of war goes on internally within this administration between what you might call, realists and those who, you know, want a clash of civilizations.
So you think the departure of Flynn also weakens Bannon and Miller?
Well, I think I'm not sure it weakens them individually, but it certainly weakens that theme, which is only one of Bannon's themes.
Yes.
But that particular theme that they are allied with.
David Corn, Washington bureau chief for Mother Jones and an MSNBC analyst. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Brian.